On this one, since it's a three pack mark, can I call it all at the same time, or am I taking each one?
Yeah, this is, and you know, certainly Mr. Stoll can weigh in. I don't, you know, we can call them because it's all the same, but then when we go into deliberations, if we could, you know, kind of talk about each one separately.
Okay.
And then to the extent that you have crossover questions, you know, I get that.
Okay.
But we should try our very best to take them individually, but yet you can call them collectively.
So did call them collectively and then we'll ask questions separately. How do you feel about that, court reporter?
I think as long as I can hear everybody and they're talking clearly, and then, you know, the only issues come up later on with the transcript, but then sometimes it would need to be either all of it in between or something separating, saying this was together and then this is their part.
We'll do our best to figure out.
Are you okay with that, Mr. Solar?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Alrighty.
I don't know what order you want to go in.
Well, then here we go.
Chairman, I think we need Dr. Burns is recused.
Yeah. Oh, Dr. Burns is recused. Hey, Dr. Burns. He's recused. Okay, Dr. Burns is recused. So we'll list them numerically, and then we'll start with Dr. Osman. Okay. All right, this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interviews of Dr. Emily Orsman, Dr. Wendy Patterson, and Tammy Watt, CBT, in case number 2506, 2507, and 2508, respectively. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 32-22-34. Dr. Osman is
this? This is Dr.
Patterson.
We can have Dr. Osman come
we can just...
whatever order you want to go in.
That's fine. We can have Dr. Patterson. That's fine. So we'll go, have you come forward and introduce yourself and counsel.
State your name.
I'm Dr. Wendy Patterson.
And David Stoll appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Patterson.
Thank you. Dr. Patterson, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
Thank you. This report proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We're going to begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the cases, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. So Dr. James, can you please give us a brief summary on the case?
Sure. For 25, 06, 07, and 08, on November 30th, 2023, Bugatti, a 3.5-year-old male Bengal cat, was presented to the respondent for drooling and restlessness. Diagnostics were performed, constipation was suspected, and treatment was administered and prescribed prior to discharge. After arriving home, the cat triggered feline non-recognition aggression from his housemate. The cats began fighting, and it took almost 5 months for the cats to reside together as they had prior to the veterinary visit. The complainant was upset that no one from the premises had warned them about the possibility of the cats fighting. The complainant expressed the following concerns that stemmed from the cat's visit on November 30th, 2023. An estimate for services was not provided. No proper follow-up call was made. The cat's medical records were sent to another veterinarian without consent. No proper referral for the feline aggression was made. And no proper instructions with respect to reintroducing the cat into the household after the appointment.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Patterson. At this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Patterson and counsel, we would like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. These three cases may have set a record in terms of the volume of paper and number of trees killed, and frankly, there's absolutely no reason for it. This is a simple case that involves a single appointment that the complainant is not even present for. As you heard, on November 30th, 2023, the complainant's wife presented her 3.5-year-old Bengal cat, Bugatti, to the Horizon Animal Hospital. At no time during the entire appointment did the complainant's wife have any issues or concerns with regard to the medical care that was provided for the treatment of the cat's presenting complaint, which was drooling and restlessness. In fact, even the complainant has admitted that he and his wife were pleased with regard to the veterinary care my clients provided in this case. It was not only appropriate care, it was successful in treating the cat's presenting complaints. These three vet board complaints were filed because Bugatti became aggressive towards another cat when it returned home. When that happened, the husband, the complainant, became increasingly confrontational and accusatory towards the hospital staff, and because of his behavior, he was terminated as a client. He responded to the termination by filing these complaints. The investigative committee thoroughly reviewed these three complaints and unanimously recommended that all three be dismissed with no violation. And we're here today to ask you to do just that. A dismissal is warranted because no statute or regulation was violated in this matter. The complainant has repeatedly cited the number of regulations and statutes that he feels were violated. First, he demands that you find a violation for the practice not giving discharge instructions to his wife at the time of the appointment. Discharge instructions, I'll remind you, are only required when a pet has been hospitalized under R311-502E. The cat in this case was neither hospitalized nor put under anesthesia, and so no discharging instructions were required. Second, with regard to the complainant's concern that his wife wasn't given a written estimate of services, a verbal estimate was given, and verbal estimates are completely appropriate under the Arizona Veterinary Practice Act. Again, no violation there. Next, the complainant is upset because the practice sent the cat's medical records to the primary veterinarian after the complainant was terminated as a client. Sending the records in this case was not only appropriate, but it was in the best interest of the pet to ensure a continuity of care. How was the owner of the pet harmed by that? As was pointed out by the investigative committee in their report, the complainant is asking the board to impose some type of HIPAA-like protection for pet records. No such protection exists, and the records were provided to the primary vet as a courtesy and not in violation of any legally recognized privacy right that a pet or a pet owner may have. Finally, the complainant wants the board to sanction and penalize my clients in this case for not warning his wife of the possibility that the cat may go home and become aggressive towards another cat. There is no statute or regulation that imposes a duty on a veterinarian to warn a pet with multiple cats that their cat may fight following an appointment. Also, it's important to keep in mind that Dr. Osman, who had was the treating veterinarian, she had no reason to suspect that the cat would be aggressive when it got home. Despite that, you've received a great deal of information from the complaint about quote-unquote feline non-recognition aggression. And as you read through his statements to the board, you would think that the Practice Act has a specific statute or regulation concerning a veterinarian's duty to disclose or discuss this emerging phenomenon with every cat owner. There is no such requirement. Feline non-recognition aggression is defined as a rare phenomenon that may occur when one cat is uncharacteristically aggressive towards a companion cat after a period of separation. In this case, the period of separation was extremely short, presumably just the time it took for the appointment. Also, under that definition, it's a type of aggression that may happen. It doesn't always happen. The bottom line is, contrary to the standard that the complainant wants you to apply in this case, the standard of care in Arizona does not require a veterinarian to disclose the possibility of feline non-aggression or non-recognition aggression with every cat owner that they see. Finally, I wish to point out that when the practice was told that this cat had undergone a change in behavior following the appointment, the hospital manager, CVT Watt, recommended a veterinary behaviorist and gave the complainant the name and number of Dr. Moffitt so that he could schedule an appointment with him, which I believe he did. As for the change in the cat's behavior, that did not start following the appointment. If you look at the history that the complainant's wife gave at the time of the appointment, she reported that, and I quote, patient not getting comfortable at night. So we have evidence of behavior changes that predate the appointment. Those are changes that could be completely unrelated to an alleged feline non-recognition aggression. In light of the foregoing, we again ask that you agree with the investigative committee and dismiss all three of these complaints with no violations. My clients are now available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Okay. Dr. James, you're the lead. Do you have any questions for Dr. Patterson?
Yeah, thank you for this statement. That kind of addressed all cases together. Are there any specific involvement that you, as the premise holder, would have had in this case that you feel you want to reference now before I go with questions?
I had no personal involvement. I had no communication or physical contact interaction with either Mr. Herbert or Mrs. Herbert at the appointment or after or by phone. I'm simply named because I'm the premise holder licensee.
Okay. Were you involved in any of the discussions amongst staff, so not with the clients, but amongst staff, about the request that was made to add FNRA to the discharge instructions or to any kind of communication? I don't know that, I'm not saying it should be added. I'm just saying, were you involved in those discussions about the request for it to be added?
We briefly discussed it and dismissed it because it's not something that we've ever really seen. I've been doing this for almost 19 years, and I've never seen it personally. So it's not something that we've ever had reported back to us from any of our clients. I know it's out there, but it's such as even his information supports, it's such a rare phenomenon. If we had to list everything that could possibly happen to a pet when they came home, we wouldn't be seeing very many patients during the day. There's just so many things that are more important in our day to deal with the health and the care of the pet than talking about something that's such a rare occurrence. And if somebody does have an issue with behavior, we always, for any client at all, we always refer to Dr. Moffitt.
Okay. And then were you involved in any of the discussions among staff with regards to terminating this client?
I don't believe I was directly involved. I don't think I was there the day, or I was in surgery the day that decision was made. But we, as a team, and management and owners made a decision when we bought the practice almost four years ago, that we will not tolerate bullying, aggressive behavior, threats from clients. And we have regularly fired, Tammy can probably tell us a little bit more in numbers, but maybe 4 to 5 in a year for folks that are, you know, swearing at our front desk staff, yelling at our staff, or rude, threaten things. We don't need to have people like that in our practice and exposing our staff to that kind of behavior.
Okay, and then I think that's all my questions for the responsible vet. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Dr. Patterson. We'll have
Dr. Offman.
So should we have all of the respondents come up and then so the complaint can hear all of
them?
Yes. Okay, all right, thank you.
And just for the record, my opening remarks apply to
yes.
all three.
Thank you. Yeah. Dr. Is it Ogden?